This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, December 9th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we begin a two-part series on nuclear power. We go to one town that's had a tarnished relationship with nuclear energy after its nuclear plant closed down. We'll also have a forecast coming up with AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. Governor Rod Blagojevich has been arrested on charges that accuse him of conspiring to get financial benefits through his ability to appoint the person to replace President-elect Barack Obama in the U.S. Senate. Blagojevich was arrested this morning at his home on Chicago's North Side. Blagojevich's chief of staff was also arrested. Blagojevich is also accused of illegally threatening to withhold state assistance to the owner of the Chicago Tribune in the sale of Wrigley Field. The charges contend that in return for state assistance, Blagojevich already or allegedly wanted members of the paper's editorial board who had been critical of him fired. Blagojevich is also charged with using his authority as governor in an attempt to squeeze out campaign contributions. The governor has repeatedly denied any wrongdoing. A news conference has been scheduled for late this morning. Stay tuned to AM 580 for the latest developments in the arrest of Governor Rod Blagojevich. The Champaign School Board's decision 6 weeks ago to remove the novel The Kite Runner from a sophomore English class raised a storm of controversy. But last night, the school board came back with a compromise that seems to satisfy both sides. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Unit 4 parent Jenny Holder was upset when the school board voted to pull The Kite Runner from an honors-level English course because of another parent's complaint about a rape scene in the novel. Holder said the board should have let their staff's judgment stand.
I don't want a parent putting their own agenda or their own values on the books my children read. I trust these people out here. I trust the curriculum committee. They are trained.
But Cindy Harmon, who made the original complaint, said despite the novel's merits, she didn't think it was suitable to assign as the only summer reading choice for a 14 or 15-year-old.
It just doesn't seem right as a reasonable parent in a school district to have to opt out of a book with the anal rape of a minor child.
But both Holder and Harmon say they're satisfied with the Champaign School Board's decision last night to reinstate The Kite Runner for the English course, along with a second novel for students to choose from for their summer reading. The class will be divided into separate discussion groups for each novel. Board President Dave Tomlinson says the majority of his email criticized his previous vote to withdraw The Kite Runner, but he still wanted to give parents an alternative that wouldn't isolate their children from classroom discussion. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Unit 4 School Board wants the school's facilities sales tax referendum to go back on the ballot next spring. Board members voted last night unanimously to ask the Champaign County Board to put the 1 cent sales tax on the April ballot in the county. Champaign and Urbana voters approved the special sales tax last month, but rural districts did not, and it went down to defeat. Unit 4 Board President Dave Tomlinson says those districts will have to work harder to get the word out that the 1 cent sales tax will allow them to pay off old construction bonds and provide voters with lower property taxes. Tomlinson says the resolution they passed promising tax relief is legally binding.
From our perspective, that is a legal obligation. We passed a resolution, and until another board unpasses it, for example, the only way an action by the board can be undertaken is if someone from the winning side changes their vote.
Besides Unit 4, seven other boards in Champaign County have voted to ask for the sales tax referendum. Three school boards in addition to Unit 4 were scheduled to vote last night on the question. The Urbana School Board could take a vote later this month. Champaign School Board has also passed a tax levy for the next school year of $72.8 million, up from $70.7 million approved last year. But school staffers say the increase is only that high to guard against an uncertain future. The levy comes with a property tax rate that'll rise from this year's $363 for every $100 of assessed valuation to $368. That would keep the Unit 4 tax rate the second lowest in Champaign County after Monticello. The actual size of tax bills will decide in part on property assessments still being prepared. Unit 4 property taxes make up about a half of the total property tax bill in Champaign. A resolution on the Urbana City Council agenda last night called for the placing of financial documents on the city's website. A divided city council passed it. This has actually been done in the city for a couple of years, but Alderman Charlie Smythe says passing the measure sets an example for other communities around the state to follow suit. He says Urbana's website is as good or better than Champaign County's for containing budgetary documents and financial summary reports, and the county's website was recently honored by a watchdog group for its transparency. Smythe says as long as cities place meeting agendas online, there's no reason to stop there.
If a project manager is putting together a report for council, you know, if you've got a report for the community of some kind, you already have it in electronic form. It's you know, should be basically a one-click upload to a website to make that material available to everybody quickly.
Opponents of the measure said the resolution wasn't necessary. Smythe sponsored the resolution after a proposed advisory referendum calling for fiscal transparency failed to make the November ballot. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. America has a new flirtation with nuclear power. Utility companies are fanning out across the nation to set up shop, and they've given the government more applications for new nuclear plants than they have for decades. Many towns fell under the spell of nuclear power in the past, but some power plants stopped running decades earlier than planned, and towns are stuck with what's left behind. In the first of a two-part series on the legacy of nuclear power, the Environment Report's Sean Ali profiles one town's tarnished relationship with nuclear energy.
Irene and Ray Zuckley have been together so long, they finish each other's sentences, especially when I ask how things were in Zion, Illinois, back in the 1960s.
The factories were going, they were getting downgraded, you know.
What were those?
Well, it was the curtain factory, the cookie factory, and chocolates, and then we've got the Zion fig bars.
But just then, the power company said it would spend hundreds of millions of dollars on a nuclear power plant. Irene Zuckley says most people welcomed it.
Ray and I never worried about it. You know, we just wanted progress. When you think of having taxes lowered for everybody in Zion, that made you feel what else would come in and do that.
Irene and Ray Zuckley were forced to sell their family's beach cottage to make room for Zion Reactor Number 1. Beachfront neighbors did the same. But like the Zuckleys predicted, taxes and jobs rolled into Zion. It was supposed to be a 40-year windfall, but it didn't last. When you visit the power plant now, it's mostly empty.
What you've got here is what used to be a full-fledged control
room. Ron Schuster runs what's left of the Zion Nuclear Power Plant. Once, the power plant had more than 800 employees. Now, Schuster and about 50 workers help manage the regional power grid. They also monitor radioactive spent fuel waste. The generators have been offline since 1997.
There was large pieces of equipment essential to make an electricity that would have needed needed total replacement going forward, and we're talking significant dollars. So that's where the economic decision was made by the board of directors that Zion Station would go into a safe store mode.
That means the power plant and the city of Zion have been in limbo for 10 years. The radioactive fuel is still on site, but the plant provides no power, few jobs, and a fraction of the property taxes. Delaine Rogers is Zion's economic development director. She says the town didn't plan on this.
You're in a community that has welcomed you. We, you know, haven't had an antagonistic relationship. They're not going to close, but they did. And it took $17 million of our local revenues. We were facing losing all of our arts and music and sports in our schools. How do you fund police department? How do you fix potholes? It was a very, very scary time.
Lately, the power company has gone back and forth about when it will decommission or dismantle the power plant. It could be done 10 years from now, or it could take decades more. But even when most of the buildings are gone, there's still the radioactive spent fuel.
They're just going to leave it. And then they're going to put a football-sized concrete pad filled with casks of stored fuel on site, above ground. Tell me how you get a private developer to think residential or retail. I'm not buying the first condo.
Dozens of towns are stuck in relationships with dormant nuclear power plants. Delaine Rogers says the town of Zion is in the same position. She won't call it a bad relationship, but she says it sure would be nice to know exactly where it's going or when it will be over. For the Environment Report, I'm Sean Ali.
Tomorrow, we'll hear about the real growth industry in nuclear power, companies that build big containers to hold radioactive waste.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
Meteorologist Ted Kieser's forecast starts with rain over most of the area, though northwest Illinois is going to get quite a bit of snow. Today in far northwest Illinois, cloudy, freezing rain and sleet changing to snow, 2 to 4 inches are likely. In far north central, northeast, and west central Illinois, rain gradually changing to snow. Elsewhere, cloudy with rain and isolated thunderstorms. The high today, ranging from 30 in far northwest Illinois to 60 far south, 48 midday in Champaign-Urbana with temperatures slowly falling in the afternoon and heavy rain at times. Winds will be gusty through midday, then from the west to northwest at 15 to 25 miles an hour this afternoon. For tonight, cloudy with snow showers in northern and west central Illinois, mostly early. In northern and west central Indiana, and from east central to southwest Illinois, cloudy with showers of rain changing to snow, elsewhere cloudy with rain. Lows from 8 above in far northwest Illinois to 38 in far south central Indiana. Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, the low 23, with rain changing to snow overnight, little accumulation expected. For tomorrow, sunny in the northwest and west central Illinois, elsewhere in Illinois, cloudy with a few flurries, then partly sunny. Northern and west central Indiana, cloudy, snow showers and flurries. East central and southern Indiana, cloudy with scattered rain and snow showers. The highs from 20 in far northwest Illinois to 40 far southern Indiana. For tomorrow in Champaign-Urbana, some early flurries, then partly sunny, the high 32, partly sunny and 36 on Thursday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, December 9th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.